We're ready.
Great.
Yes.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the December 7th, 2017 District of Columbia Board of Pharmacy meeting. Our apologies for the delayed start. We're waiting for make sure we had a quorum so we could conduct business. We now have that quorum. I'm James Appleby, Vice Chair of the Board of Pharmacy. I'm standing in for sitting in for Dr. Daphne Bernard, the Board Chair, who has another commitment today. I'll ask individual members of the Board of Pharmacy to introduce themselves first, and then the staff. And then we'll also be asking our visitors to also identify yourselves so we can capture that for the minutes. So.
Tamara McCann, Board Member.
Good morning, Emmanuel Bellegarde, Board Member.
Good morning, Benjamin Miles, Board Member.
Good morning, Shauna White, Executive Director.
Good morning, Corinne Barron, Health Licensing Specialist for the Board of Pharmacy.
Hello, Latasha Gaskin, Health Licensing Specialist for the Board of Pharmacy.
Good morning, Carla Williams, Board Counsel.
So as to kick off the meeting, it's now 10 o'clock a.m. On December 7th, 2017. We'd also invite members of the public who are with us to identify yourselves as well. Is there a microphone, or how are they to do that?
Project.
Yes, just project, if you would, please. Move it out there.
Denise Haluka, Walgreens.
Thank you.
Lucia Plumajit, graduate student at Benedictine University.
Good morning, Lisa Leggett with Express Scripts.
Don Zawater, public.
Jennifer Thomas, Del Mar Foundation.
Kim Greenwood, immunization program here in the Department of Health.
Good morning, everyone. Carolyn Price, president of the Washington, D.C. Pharmacy Association.
Mm-hmm. Better us for Rite Aid Pharmacy.
Shonda Peterson, Giant Pharmacy.
Good morning, Jonas Terry, pharmacist with the Department of Healthcare Finance.
Renee Stanford, Kaiser Permanente.
Wonderful. Welcome. Thank you all for joining us for today's meeting. And just to remind you that there is an opportunity at the end of our open session for questions, comments from the public. So if you have items you'd like to bring forward to the Board of Pharmacy at that time, you're invited to do so. We'll start today's meeting with approval of the open session minutes from November 2nd, 2017. Board members, that information is included as part of your background materials for the today's board meeting. Someone is ready, can have a motion.
I'll move to
that we approve the minutes from the November
2nd.
Open session.
Dr. Miles, is there a second for the motion?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion regarding the November 2nd, 2017 open session minutes of the Board of Pharmacy? Is there consensus around the motion? Seeing heads nodding in the affirmative.
What? I'm sorry. Yep. So the minutes.
It's on your disk.
Okay, so it's not this one.
No, this is your agenda.
Okay. All right. Now I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. Is there a consensus on the motion?
Yes.
All right. Affirmative there. In that case, I'll call for a vote. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any abstentions? Any opposition? All right. Motion carries unanimously. There are no items for the consent agenda, so next up is our Executive Director's Report, Dr. White.
Good morning, everyone. Happy December. I'm going to give our statistics. Currently, we have 1,966 pharmacists licensed in the District of Columbia, 588 have vaccination and immunization authority. We have currently 864 technicians, 228 pharmacy technician trainees, 9 pharmacy technician training programs registered with the District of Columbia, We have 743 interns, and currently we have 1,231 pharmaceutical detailers. While we're on the topic of detailers, currently we are in our detailer renewal. The pharmaceutical detailer renewal opened up December the 1st and will run through February the 28th of 2018. So if anyone has any questions about that, the application is on the website. Is on the website, and renewals can be done for those detailers that wish to renew online.
Board members, any questions for Dr. White? Anything else?
No, I just did want to give a quick update about the clinical lab practitioner advisory committee. So I have been in conversation with MODA, so they're still working on trying to fill that advisory committee. So hopefully by the next open session meeting, I'll have a little bit more information as far as if that committee has been filled.
For those of us who aren't accomplished on the acronyms, MODA is...
Oh, I'm sorry. MODA is the Mayor's Office of Talent and Acquisition. So they are responsible for recruiting members to boards, advisory boards, and committees.
That's nice. So board members are brought in through a talent acquisition process. That sounds pretty cool. Thank you very much, Sean. Moving forward, we'll have a report from board... Councilor?
Yes, so I wanted to just bring to your attention a couple of bills that are pending at the council that will affect the practice of pharmacy in D.C. The first one is the Defending Access to Women's Healthcare Services Amendment Act of 2017.
Jim, I'm Mr. Apton, I'm sorry.
That's right.
Could you speak up a little bit, Carl? It's hard to hear back here. We got the air low and stuff like that.
Okay. So this bill will allow pharmacists to dispense certain contraceptives pursuant to established protocols. It will amend the Women's Health and Cancer Rights Federal Law Conformity Act of 2000 to require insurers to cover certain healthcare services without cost sharing. It will require insurers to authorize dispensing of up to a 12-month supply of pharmacists dispensed self-administered contraceptives. It will provide certain employers a religious exemption from or accommodation for the coverage of contraceptive products and services, and require insurers to provide information regarding coverage to enrollees and potential enrollees. So there's a few provisions I'll just point out. If enacted, an individual licensed to practice pharmacy in D.C. pursuant to this act will be able to prescribe and dispense up to a 12-month supply of self-administered hormonal contraceptives without a prescription if certified by this board and pursuant to a written protocol established by this board and the Board of Medicine. This board and the Board of Medicine would be required to jointly develop and issue regulations establishing protocols for the dispensation of self-administered hormonal contraceptives. Those protocols shall include that that if the pharmacist has not already undergone training as part of their formal education, that the pharmacist would be required to complete a training program approved by this board and the Board of Medicine, and that the patient using a self-screening tool developed by the Board of Medicine will identify patient risk factors for the use of self-administered hormonal contraceptives based on current U.S. medical eligibility criteria for contraceptive use developed by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So this bill is bill number 22-0106. You can access it on the council's website and review it in full. Any discussion before I move on to the next one?
Question. How is this different than, something that was brought forth before that allowed for pharmacists to prescribe birth control? Or is this a little deeper than that? Or
so the idea has been floated around a few times. I don't think it's ever actually been enacted. So they're still trying to get it enacted. If passed, then we'll finally be able to do it, but pursuant to those protocols, and you will need to be certified, such as like with the immunizations and vaccinations, you have to get a special certification from the board. You'll need one to do this as well.
Are they having a hearing on this, or?
It was just introduced at first reading on December 5th. There should be another hearing. I think they may have had a hearing on a previous version of this, but there should be some sort of hearing. So I don't have any details on that. We will certainly let you know. If the board has a position on it that you want to put before the council, we can either prepare testimony or for it to be delivered orally, or you can submit written testimony.
Well, there are many aspects of that proposed bill that sound like the process that we went through, Board of Pharmacy work with the Board of Medicine around immunization. So we have a track record there of being able to do things forward in collaboration with that board. So mm-hmm. we'll see where this goes and see if indeed we'll be doing that in 2018.
I thought I heard, though, that it said something like if part of the formal training that, so as a board, technically, we maybe can say that this enough for us pharmacists to have gone through pharmacy school and gone through 16 semesters or so of formal training, and that they would be able to do this.
That would be one of the things you can work out with the Board of Medicine and put into the regulations.
Because I just want us to just be just as clear about the fact that we, as pharmacists, we go through an extensive amount of training. So if we have, you know, what the District of Columbia is doing in terms of expanding the practice of pharmacy or the role of the pharmacist, we're already trained for that. So I just want us to just kind of keep that in mind, that we don't need a special certification every time someone wants to realize that the pharmacist can do more.
So that would be one of the comments the board may decide whether you wish to put before council, because if enacted as written, you will need a special certification to do this. So that's something that if you disagree with, you can try to present that view to council and see if they'll remove that requirement.
Well, the certification is one thing, it's a separate matter around training. If we decide that no additional training is necessary, we just go right into a certification process without additional training. Yeah, we'll see where it goes. Very, very progressive proposal.
I will mention that Oregon State does have this similar legislation enacted right now, and they do have a training program and process where pharmacists would complete the training, and then they will be able to prescribe oral contraceptives for their residents. So if anyone is thinking of where this legislation came from or kind
of the idea. So,
but that's the only state I think that I'm aware of that is actively doing something similar.
All right, Council, you want to tell us a little bit about the Opioid Abuse Prevention Amendment Act of
2017? Yes, the Council has also introduced legislation to limit the initial prescription of opiates for acute conditions to 7 days or less, to create additional requirements for subsequent prescription of opioids for acute conditions, limit the strength of opiates for other than acute conditions, and require the mayor to issue rules to limit dispensing of opiates prescribed out of state and to track the number of prescriptions prescribed by practitioners. That one, Shauna, is much more versed on this and how we feel this would affect DC. So I'll ask Shauna to take the lead on discussing the main points.
Sure. So the main points in this legislation basically will be the limits on how opioid prescriptions are dispensed in the District of Columbia. So the main issue and the main change will be the quantity being limited to a 7-day supply for acute pain. I'll just read a little bit of the legislation, because the very worried about what can be done and what can't be done and where there are exemptions. So a practitioner shall not issue initial prescription for opioid in the quantity exceeding a 7-day supply with no refill for the treatment of acute pain, and no less than 6 days after issuing the initial prescription pursuant to the previous paragraph, the practitioner, after consultation with the patient, may issue a subsequent prescription for the drug to the patient in a quantity that complies with applicable laws. So there are requirements around the prescribing and dispensing of opioid prescriptions. There are some exemptions. I think the exemptions come further down where it says it should not apply to a prescription for a patient who is currently in active treatment for cancer, receiving hospice care from a licensed hospice or palliative care, or is a resident of a long-term care facility, or to any medications that are being prescribed for the use and the treatment of substance abuse or opioid dependence. So the bill is not really long. It's about 5 pages. So definitely, I don't think it's been a hearing date, as far as I'm aware of, assigned to this bill. So just be on the lookout for the movement of how the bill develops.
There's a lot of specifics. So determining how this will affect your, well, for pharmacists, not so much, but for the practitioners, how this will affect their practice. I guess they need to look in comment to comment, so if they do think that any of this is going to be overly burdensome. But the goal is to address the opioid crisis in America. So this is council's attempt to do that.
Okay. Are we aware of jurisdictions, especially our neighboring jurisdictions, taking similar approaches to this?
I think Virginia has a similar approach as far as limiting the initial day supply to 7 days for new opioid prescriptions. I haven't heard anything that Maryland is doing.
Is there some sort of requirement to utilize the PDMP to verify prescriptions that they receive by other providers or anything like that, or is it just one provider specific?
Right, so the currently right now the Prescription Drug Monitoring Program doesn't have any requirements to for providers to check or to be registered.
Okay.
Yeah, and this didn't add that requirement, but that is probably something that we'll have to look at going down the road. We intentionally chose not to make it a requirement to look when we wrote the PDMP bill, but in light of where the country's going with this crisis, it may be something that the board and Pharmaceutical Control Division discuss as something to see if we want to add to our law in the future.
I will say that the Prescription Drug Monitoring Program Advisory Committee will probably meet early next year, January or February. So that may be a topic that comes up. And that will be a public meeting.
And Shauna, who comprises the Prescription Drug Monitoring Advisory Committee?
Right. So according to the regulations, the Prescription Drug Monitoring Advisory Committee, it is chaired by the director or their representative. There's a representative from either the director or their designee, the executive director of the Board of Medicine, the executive director of the Board of Pharmacy, the 4 additional members are a representative from the Metropolitan Police Department, a consumer member, and the other 2 members are members of the public that have any involvement in the medical or pharmacy field.
Thank you. Well, members, any other questions on that before we move on? Counselor, any other things you want to report?
Nope, that was it.
Okay. A couple of subcommittee reports. I'm not sure, given some absences, if other members of the board have are standing in to provide a report or not, but the Legislative and Regulatory Subcommittee, is there any report from that group?
No.
Anything happening around private practice?
No. There's no attachment, so I'm not sure. I see that the proposal we're making mention that there's no attachment, so I would just table that.
Right.
And we'll talk about it.
Get updated our next meeting. Mr. Freeman for this?
February next month.
February 2019. And then the Communications Subcommittee, anything we report there?
No.
Very good. Then we are on to comments from the public, as promised at the top of the hour. This is the opportunity of members of the public, organizations you represent, have comments or questions you would like to bring forward to the Board of Pharmacy. If you do have comments, just to remind us your name and affiliation, and then proceed.
I'm Denise Baluk with Walgreens. Since we were talking about the opioid crisis and the things to combat, I was wondering if there was any update on the naloxone training for pharmacists to be able to
Shauna, would you like to provide any update on the naloxone trend?
So the board is currently working. The board is currently working on the training. Once we have some more finite details, we'll be sending out more information to all of the registered pharmacists in the District of Columbia. So look forward to hearing an announcement sometime in the first quarter of the new year.
Thank you.
Okay. Follow up to that. This is Jennifer Thomas from Delmarva. Does the law allow the pharmacists to administer naloxone? I don't see that writing very clearly in the law, so I just want to get a clarification.
It's to prescribe and dispense.
So it's not administration.
No, the whole point of the law is to be able to give it to a family member or a friend who may be present when a person is suffering from an overdose. So the pharmacist would not be administering. It's not anticipated that they would be present. So the law is to allow them to be able to dispense the medication for that person to have on hand in the event of an overdose.
So in the event that an emergency occurred at the place of the pharmacy and the pharmacist is present, they're allowed to administer. Now they have to be trained to administer the drug, so the people that they're dispensing the drug are trained to administer it.
If an overdose occurred in a pharmacy in the presence of a pharmacist, then he or she would be able to take action to help save that person's life, and they would be covered under Good Samaritan or other laws that are in place. This one is specific to making it a legitimate prescription to, in anticipation of a possible future incident, give this medication to a friend or family member.
Yes.
Good morning, all. Carolyn Price, Washington, D.C. Pharmacy Association. I heard you mention something about collaborative practice, but I did not hear the question.
Yes.
What you were saying is, has it been supposed to be discussed and postponed to another time, and is there any other update?
Yes, our chair of the Regulatory and Legislative Subcommittee, Dr. Alan Friedman, is not with us today. I do know that subcommittee continues to work on the collaborative practice regulations, but we will have a report in February. Is there anything else you want to share, Carla?
Yeah, I just want to add that it was published. I don't have a copy of anything here to tell you the date. So I didn't want to speak to that, but it was published for comment. I am believing that we should be at the end of that comment period. I don't recall when it was published, and I don't have that information in front of me, but it was published for comment.
Okay, thank you. So it'll be taken up again in February. When will it be taken up again?
We will have at our next public session, which is in February. At that time, we will definitely have concluded the public comment period. We will know whether we received any comments. We will continue to remind everyone. And I'm trying to remember, is this the bill that we got a whole bunch of comments on?
Yes.
Is this that one?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So we did. It is over. The comment period's over. And thank you for submitting a lot of comments. So now we have to, as a subcommittee, go through all of those comments and then decide whether or not any changes need to be made. If any changes are made, then we have to republish. I think I did mention at our last open session meeting, as much as we appreciate it, it does kind of slow the process down, especially if everyone's sending a form letter, because we have to address all of them. So if there's a group that would like to, as a group, send one letter, that's helpful. Sending us 50 that all say the same thing, it just kind of makes it a more voluminous project for us to do. So thank you for reminding me. Now I remember where we are. So where we are now is that the subcommittee has to meet to review all those comments and decide whether or not any changes need to be made. And I believe we'll be ready to report out at the February meeting what was decided.
And then I want to add, then after that, we need to check in with the Board of Medicine to see if they had any questions or concerns about those comments as well.
Exactly.
Other questions from the public? Comments?
I don't have a question, but I have an announcement.
Yes, please.
On Saturday, we're having a citywide DC Ed Fest. What that is a school-wide health fair and school fair. So all 400 of the DC public and charter schools come to the DC Armory from 11 to 3 p.m. so that people, parents, and visitors can come in and look at each school and see what's the best fit for their child. But the great part about us here at Department of Health is we have a section called DOH City that provides all the health care. So we're going to have the Georgetown mobile van there to immunize the children, as well as do physicals for children that are not in compliance. And then Walgreens is coming to immunize the adults. So if people still have not gotten their flu shot or pneumonia, then they can come out to that event. So I wanted you all to be able to notice about that. And then also, I went to the gerontological event that they had last month and made a connection with a wonderful person from the Alliance of Aging Research. And you'll see these brochures that I left in the chair. And it goes over the importance of vaccines with older adults. It's been a great teaching tool at different outreach or community events, as well as it has the immunization card attached to them. So I just wanted you all. And so if you all want more, we have some on the third floor because they sent us 2,500 copies for us to disseminate. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the public? If not, then do I have a board member who would like to help us bring this session to a successful close using the appropriate language as shown very clearly on our agenda?
Mr. Chair, I move that the board close the open public session portion of the meeting and move into the closed executive session portion of the meeting pursuant to DC Official Code Section 2575B for the following purposes: to discuss disciplinary matters pursuant to Section 2575B 9, to seek the advice of the counsel to the board to preserve attorney-client privilege, or to approve settlement agreements pursuant to Section 275B4.
Thank you for that motion. Is there a second for the motion?
Second.
Seconded. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there general consensus with the motion? It's nodding up and down. Therefore, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries. That's 10:28, and the DC Board of Pharmacy meeting is now concluded, the opening session for December of 2017. Thank you all for joining us, and we will see you again in February 2018.